And we grew, but you know, we were a group of misfits. Maybe a little bit like we are now, just smaller. No offense. a little less polished, right? And Pastor Cron Gibson was our pastor, and he is a wonderfully gifted minister of the gospel, but he came to this point in his life in 2009 and toward 2010, where, I don't know if you know what this is like, but he just needed to make a change. And that change led him into a full-time counseling ministry, and Redeemer, that was still small and still not very established, was going to be left without a pastor. And there was talk about folding and just trying again later. We were in crisis, I just have to say. Honestly, that's what the deal was. We were in crisis. But then the Lord brought us a family. Right, enter Carlos. Okay, but not just enter Carlos, right?
Enter Leo.
Enter Carlos and Leellen and Mark and Will and Daniel and Maria. And all of a sudden, we had life. And we had an anchor. And if Carlos were telling me what to say, which he hasn't, he would say, don't make this about him. And it's not. Okay, it's not. But, this family is what has given us momentum. And the Lord has woven, you know, has woven their walk and their struggles and their tragedy and their gifts and the authenticity of their family standing and trembling before God in their walk with Him and in their faith, has woven that together with us. And so it has begun to characterize who we are, and we have, as a result, something to follow. And we've been knit together, and we have grown, right? And we were in a position, though, when they came to join us, where we were at Trentwood Elementary School, and it wasn't clear that we were going to be able to stay there. And so here we are with this new infusion of life and possibilities, but yet there's this instability. We don't know what's going to happen. And we're not even sure if we're going to have a place to meet. And we really weren't prepared for a transition at all. Least of all financially, right? And if something else crazy were to happen, you know, we were teetering on the edge. Those of you who were with us kind of remember that. Well, we started this thing called the Expansion Fund, which was really more of just getting us ready for a transition, which we knew was probably inevitable. And then, sure enough, along came a time when Trentwood Elementary School had a change in leadership and they came to us and said, it's probably going to be a good idea for you guys to find some place else to go. And praise the Lord, we were ready. The Lord had enabled us to begin to get ready for that through the Expansion Fund and through having Pastor Carlos and his family come and join us and begin to create this cohesive church that was a family with this idea of moving forward. And so we were able to take advantage of that transition, not as a crisis, but as an opportunity. And here we are, right? And this is really cool, right? Because we are in a church where we have a sanctuary and we have a second sanctuary and we have a fellowship hall and we have a great relationship with Lynn Haven Presbyterian Church. But did you know that this is not necessarily stable either? Right? Because this is a lease. This is an arrangement that at some point in the future could need to change. And by the way, probably will. Probably will. And so what I'm thankful for is that we've sort of been through that before in smaller form. Right? And because of that, we have something to talk about. And we have a reminder that the Lord is strong and equips us for what He has in store. That He enables us, when we pay attention to Him and our place in His story, to be intentional about it's not just us. It's about where He's taking us. It's about who we don't have among us yet. It's about the community. It's about our role in His story. And we can look back and see what He's done in the past so that we know He's going to be faithful in the future in bringing us to where He wants us to be, which is much bigger and much better, much more amazing and miraculous and glorious than we could even think about if all we were focused on is ourselves and our families. And so here we are, what some of us might think of as in a really good place, strong, financially stable, our pastor's getting paid, praise the Lord. By the way, that hasn't always been the case. Did you you know that? But he is, right? And the Lord has been amazingly faithful in terms of us meeting budget, having the finances that we need, bringing us together as a family. But I think where we, as a pastor and as elders and as leaders, are sort of sensing is that it's time to think about being prepared for what the future may hold. And so we're talking about it. And we're pointing to the rocks. And we're remembering what he's done. And we're getting excited about what he's going to do in the future.
That's great, Ken. Thank you. David Clark's locked out. If you could let him in back there. Okay. One of the things we got a chance to do, we sent out a survey. It was a 94-part survey. We wanted to get some intel. So as the elders met, and there's something I call holy discontent. And what is a holy discontent? A holy discontent happens when somebody sees something and they say, we got to do something about this. You know, the first holy discontent, I think of Moses. You know, he saw an Egyptian killing, you know, or two Hebrews fighting or whatever it was. And, you know, something stirred within him. So we got to do something about this. And some of this holy discontent started to stir with one Bob Knuth, actually, who came and he had a holy discontent. And that led to a discussion. And Bob is a force to be reckoned with, to be sure. And it stirred something within the elders that we had been thinking about but was below the surface. So one of the things we want to do before necessarily moving on this holy discontent is get some more intel from the congregation to see if what we're feeling, what we're sensing from the Lord is also being, you know, communicated out in the ranks. So we asked a bunch of different questions. So here are some of the questions that we have. One was, how long have you attended Redeemer Presbyterian Church? And the answer? I like this a lot. What it tells me is, you know, that there is a flow of people coming in. And, you know, we want this to happen. We want Redeemer to be like a river, if you will. By its very nature, being a military community, I think of how many people that we've sent off. You know, if we had everyone that has come and stayed, we would maybe be double the size that we were right now. But that's just the community that we're in. One of the things we also always want is a mix of seasoned, mature believers, people maturing as believers, brand new believers, and seekers, non-believers. We want a flow coming in. And so we saw that we've got a mix of people coming in. That's exciting and that's good. Next question. What do you have to say about Redeemer? So we asked the question, what are the three things that you like most about Redeemer? There was a host of different answers, but Bob actually did the compiling of them. And these were the three that were the most answered. The first was gospel-centered, Bible-based preaching. People came because they were hearing the word and they were hearing good news. You know, I don't know if you've ever been to a place where a sermon's preached and it's a great sermon, but it could just as easily be preached in a synagogue. Here's what you are supposed to do. Where the gospel is different than that. It's good news. It's not just good advice. And so gospel-centered preaching. This is what is true. This is what God has done. Now this is how we are to respond. So we get a lot of folks who have come to us, who have stayed with us, who used to go to a church, who even thought maybe they were believers, and they were hearing a message, and then coming and hearing it for the first time, or they were hungry for more. So this seems to be one of the main themes of gospel-centered Bible-based preaching. Number two, people are authentic, friendly, and welcoming. These are not in any particular order. In fact, I think that this one was the highest, actually. Isn't that interesting? Community, even eclipsing gospel-centered Bible-based preaching. Well, part of that is that that community mirrors the gospel, you know? Community is the gospel real and actually infiltrating our lives to such an extent that it affects us. So people are authentic, friendly, and welcoming. And that's I never fear inviting someone to this church because I know that someone is going to say hello to them and is going to reach out to them and And, you know, this is a place to go. And it's not necessarily, I'm okay, you're okay. It's authentic. I like that word. Remember, our top two values, humility and authenticity. And, you know, I think that as I look through some of the other answers here that we got, feels real. Small church feel. People my age. Prayer support. Opportunity to participate. These were all different answers. Number three, teaching and theology. People were feeling like, you know, we're getting the word, we're getting an understanding of who God is, of who we are, and of what the world is. You know, I was meeting with a non-believer actually yesterday, and who's really struggling, and I said, you know, one of the things about the faith that I have is I have a way to interpret and understand reality that makes sense. You know, the answers that I can give you explain the world and reality as it is. And so our goal for you and also for our young folks is when they do get to college and they are in a seminar and someone is, you know, explaining their version of reality, when really you pick it apart, it's a cacophony. It makes no sense, is to be able to communicate what is true. Okay, what do you have to say about Redeemer? This was the second question we have. What three things do you like least about Redeemer? Number one, fellowship space was too small. Now, that's not surprising. It feels like a basement party when we go in, you know. You're back in the dark. Hey, how are you? You know? So the fellowship was too small. Sharing space with the congregation. Number three was volunteers are spread thin. And we need to be careful about this. You know, churches need to act their age. I think sometimes we can think we're older than we are in terms of, I want this program, and I want to do this, and I want to do this. Well, that involves people. And so, you know, if you're feeling burnt out, come see me. It's okay to be tired in ministry. It's not good to be tired of ministry. And the last thing that we want to be about is burning through people to accomplish our objective, which is to be the end-all, be-all church. You know, that's just heresy. Go back if you don't remember. But you notice two of these were, and we had a lot of good things to say about, you know, Lynn Haven and all that, and I'm going to get to that, but we're feeling some of, if we had our druthers, if we could have things the way we wanted, we would have more space to be able to do the things. There it is, you know, it's funny, you compare this to, you know, what if going back to Trentwood. Hey, this is pretty good. And in fact, what you'll see is, keep on going here, you'll see this reflected in another slide. What suggestions do you have that might improve Redeemer? Community groups, we have heard and spoken. Own our own facility was one of the top choices. And there was a miscellaneous. Here are some of them. Renovation of old building covered walkway. Well, we can't do that. More old school hymns. Balance. By the way, our music got very good props. It didn't make the top three, but it was fourth in terms of our worship music. So props to our worship team. I don't even know if they're here. What's that?
I said old school hymns coming up.
Old school hymns did come in. The worship wars are still available. So Evos tries to strike that balance. Praying before the offering. Several folks said that, which I appreciate, and lo and behold, we listen. Barry is praying before offering. Find ways to plug people into volunteering on Sundays. Hold family meetings more often. I like that. In-depth Bible study, more women involvement in different areas. So there was a host of different choices, but these were the three that kind of came out. All right, next slide. Are you happy with the ministries that Redeemer offers? I was surprised by this. 100 people said, 100% said yes. So apparently there's nothing we're missing in our portfolio. We have met all of your needs. So I think that's, you know, maybe that for where we are right now, you know, we're doing an okay job. I was excited. I didn't plant these answers. I was glad to hear this. Next slide. This, I like this a lot. Are you happy with the size of Redeemer? 29% yes, 70% no. Why is that 70%? No. And go ahead and go to the next slide, too. Would you like to see Redeemer's membership grow? And the answer was 100%, yes. Why is that? Well, because Redeemer is a home, we're a mission, and we're a training center all at the same time. That we exist for more than simply ourselves. The only reason Christ has not come back yet is because God is still gathering his people in. And we're to be a part of that. So we are, God calls us to a holy discontent in this way. And so I'm excited that we want to continue to grow. We want to continue to reach out. And that's important. Next slide. Are you happy with Redeemer's current location? Answer. Yeah, this is a great location. Okay, there's no doubt about it. I mean, it's right off the interstate. It's so much easier to invite someone here than Trentwood. It's a church. It's right off the interstate. God has really blessed us with this location right now. Okay, next slide. How do you feel about sharing a church home? This is kind of cool. Okay, there was the question, which was, what do I like least? In other words, if I could change this, would I? But when the question was, how do you feel about sharing a church home? 70% not satisfied, 35% neutral, 47% satisfied. Okay, how do those two jive together? I think it's a sense of, well, this is where we're at as a church. In other words, we'd love to have everything we could, but this is where God has us. But we believe that God has more for us in order to do what we want to do, in order to sort of become the church that we need to be. What does that mean? Let's continue on. So we continue to ask more probing questions. How do you feel about Redeemers engaging in a multi-year effort to establish a permanent home? 42%, it's a good idea. I'd like to give and help fundraise for it. 47%, it's a good idea and I'd like to give towards it. It's a good idea. It's a good ideal time to start fundraising. 10%, happy where we are, 0%. So of everybody that answered this question, it was one of those three. And this told us that God is moving us in a place to start getting us ready toward that next step of whatever that is. And so what does that mean? What it means is God is calling us, we believe, to start to put our ducks in a row. So when that opportunity comes along to establish a permanent base of ministry, we're going to be ready for that. And so at this point, I want to turn it over to Bob Knuth, who's going to share what he has experienced about this and what we're going to do about this holy discontent.
Can I hit from here? Before I start, three things, because you always have three things.
Trinity.
One was an observation. I noticed that Alex and Aaron and David and Paul could say whatever they wanted. But I had to submit 40 slides to Carlos. It says a lot about you, Bob. And some may not know this, just I'm more introverted than extroverted. True. I compensate for it by being loud, like announcing things that you'll put on.
Yeah.
The second thing was a relief statement I made to Carlos when we were going over who was presenting what. I said, thank goodness I don't have to follow Ken. Carlos is on the phone. The phone goes dead silent. Oh, I'll take it there. He goes, well, what does that mean? So the third thing is an apology, because then I realized, holy cow, you know, the guy who delivers powerful sermons, but, you know. We said this fear about going behind Kent.
We all fear.
So with that said, Carlos, Barry, and Ken have humored me for months. Carlos probably more than anyone has been years. If you don't know, I'm COO of an IT company, and we do 90% governmental work, 10% is commercial, and that's all over the globe. And being a little company, we live and die on cash flow. So every morning I go in, I'm looking at numbers. What's coming in, what's going out. Got to Redeemer over 3 years ago, I think we're in our fourth year. And in the bulletin, as it is every week, our finances are reflected. And I look at those and I would make assumptions. There were some weeks I wondered if we would be here the next week. Ken pointed out Carlos hasn't always been paid. There hasn't always been a positive account. Started asking Debbie. Debbie is our bookkeeper. She does a phenomenal job. A lot of questions. She probably got very tired of me asking her a lot of questions. And that sort of led for me one day to ask Carlos if I could sit down with Ken and Barry and he and present something. And what has happened is that we've been on a journey. The survey was created. You all have responded. Because I was adamant that, you have to understand, I've tried to walk from this. This is not something that I have wanted to take on. I've ignored it. Someone else is going to do this, I think. And so it was a 3-year sort of journey for me. And I said, you all are going to have to want to do it. And so we got a survey. We got to do this. They humored me every step of the way. So finally, the results of the survey are in. And beginning of the day, Redeemer's starting a journey to come home. And Call to Rise, Redeemer's establishing a capital campaign for the sole purpose of establishing a permanent home for Redeemer Presbyterian Church. We don't know where that is yet, but the journey's begun. Arise is for us, our children, and for generations to come. We have this neat little logo that was created by
Eden Furbish.
Eden Furbish. So we felt naming the program was going to be extremely important from an ownership perspective, et cetera. But what we envision is a Virginia Beach home for our congregation to worship, mark milestones, weddings, and funerals, and invite neighbors of all ages to learn about Jesus Christ. We envision a place for the city, serving the poor, welcoming neighbors to artist events, boys and girls scouting events. I saw something this week on a troop thing. Wouldn't that be powerful that we had a troop here? And more. We want to physically manifest what it looks like to be a church and not of ourselves. And doing a lot of research, we kind of have this connection to Redeemer Presbyterian in New York City because my son married a girl that was an RUF intern there. And if not familiar with Tim Keller, it's a very powerful church and very powerful message. So kind of was digging around, came across their site, and I saw this, and I thought it was pretty powerful. One of the best ways we can love and bless our neighbors is by becoming a physical neighbor ourselves. Readiness and impermanent often makes us invisible to those who live nearby. We want to do more than descend into a neighborhood on Sundays to use space. We want to be rooted in the fabric of a neighborhood to share space and be part of advancing the common good for generations to come. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that that was just unbelievably powerful, so I lifted it. So why Rise? Why now? As Ken pointed out, in 2006, Redeemer became a church plant with only a handful of followers. It was the Frets, the Dodles, and the Sitterlings. Correct?
This last, yeah, maybe this fifth.
Yeah. So for the past 10 years, we've seen consistent growth. Today's number was
109 in the sanctuary.
Wow.
At six in the nursery.
Wow.
It's encouraging. It's a numbers guy, right? I look at that 4-week attendance average as much as all the budget stuff, which Carlos is going to go into. We've grown from a small group of meeting in homes to a public worship meeting in an elementary school, and now here at Linnea Presbyterian Church. Weekly attendance has grown during the same time, averages 80 to 100 over a four-week average. I saw today at 77. So we dipped a little bit on the four-week average, but we missed last week, and you know we're just coming out of the summer. Which incidentally, this past summer, we had a number of days that were over
78.
Yeah. So as we've grown, our needs of space and time usage have grown, and we always want to be good tenants. These are wonderful people. I mean, to welcome us into their church has been powerful, but we know the growth is going to begin to impact the space and time usage here. In some ways, it has. It's always been considered a temporary home for Redeemer by both churches. Let's see here. So, I don't know how many know this, but just recently, Carlos and Ken worked to renegotiate the lease. When we first arrived here, we had 90 days. They could come and say, you know, this isn't working, and we would have had to have found another church home. Having been part of that committee with some of y'all that were looking, that you know, we put the fund together and we got here, I saw that as somewhat problematic. We really weren't prepared. And so with this 90-day lease, there's a termination clause, et cetera, and when you kind of look at it, if it sort of happened today, you know, we'd probably be good through summer, and that would give us time, hopefully, to find a place. It's not ideal. We want 3 to 5 years, but understanding their side, looking at it, seeing us grow, they were concerned about impact on space and time utilization. So there's this happy sort of medium that we came to, and our leaders will continue to look at that. What's important, though, is the lease provides us an opportunity to worship, fellowship, and meet as a church body. It also provides us an opportunity to prepare for the future. God's going to provide us opportunities for establishing a future permanent home for Redeemer. In fact, he has. We've had a number of opportunities that have come up. There was a church recently that was quite inviting, but financially, we weren't prepared. There was no way that we could do this. So that's why I said yet. Horizons Capital Campaign to position us for the future, preparing us to consider permanent home opportunities as they're presented by the Lord. Arise provides us an established, well-defined road to our future as a church and congregation. You know, I live by the adage, if you don't know where you're going, any road's going to take you. So, you know, right now we're putting the roadmap down so that we'll know where we're going. As important, Arise is our commitment as a congregation to making real estate strategy part of Redeemer's long-term vision to serve the Lord through achieving, through delivering this message to Virginia Beach for generations to come. It's greater than any one of us, but only as great as all of us coming together around a common goal. Rise is all about preparing us as a church to be positioned to take advantage of future home opportunities as the Lord presents them. And Rise is a 3-year capital campaign with the goal of establishing funding that will be utilized as seed money for our future church home. And with that, I'm going to turn it back to Carlos. They're going to go into this sort of a little bit more in detail.
Fantastic. Thanks, Bob. So where are we at financially?
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
So where are we at now, and where are we trying to go financially? In terms of financially, where we're at right now, let's go ahead. In terms of our membership, it continues to grow. From a financial perspective, our budget is $212,000. Well, what does $212,000 get you? Where does this money go, by the way? It goes, one, to fund me. And when people said, I've never gotten paid, there are times, and it's been a while back, when I did not get paid fully. There's never been a time when we haven't gone without a paycheck, and there's never been a time when there hasn't been food on the table. I do not determine my salary. My salary does not rise as our budget rises. Sometimes it can fall in the case, but you guys have taken good care of us, so don't worry about that. But what is that? You know, that's salary, that's insurance, that's retirement, it's Jody, it's paper, it's ink, it's cell phone, it's batteries, it's cables, it goes on, and it's missions, it's everything that comes around to making Redeemer Redeemer. In terms of, if you looked at our last month when we finished September, so our budget goes from July to, June? And we finished, from July, so that's 4 months. So in 4 months, we should have been at around, $53,000. No, that's expenses. Give me 1 second, let me get organized here. Sorry about that. We were 50,000, so we're about negative $2,000 behind in terms of what we have raised for what we've spent. So I'm just stopping at September. These are October's money, but we're right in the middle of October. And additionally, we just missed last week. Okay? So that happens. But if you look at how much cash on hand we have at the end of last month after we've paid the bills and everything, we have about $50,000 in the bank.
Can I make just a quick point?
Sure.
Every week I do a quick scan, and thank you, Debbie, for getting this in the bulletin every week. But outside of the budgetary annual budget, those are the numbers that appear. If you look at this as July through October, next month will be July through November, that budget number's in there that Debbie provides. The contributions you create are below that. So if you look at that, you might say, wow, we're about $18,000 below our annual. You really got to come down to next monthly. Monthly, October's operating budget, $17,716. So far in the contributions, of course, we missed last week and everything, it's $3,000. So there's a $14,000 deficit there just for this month. So really, when you look at these numbers, this, and as you pointed out, it's less, it's only two, is showing that there's really only a 14,000 delta. You with me? And then the reserve account, one of the things that we've been trying to get to is where we've got a couple months' reserves. So that reserve account goes up and down based upon when Debbie's paying things, you know, because cash flow. Things hit you and you got to pay them. It doesn't always hit you when the contributions are coming. So you're going to see the reserve account go up and down based upon the goes in twos and the goes out twos and the timing on payment. But the goal there is really to get that above $34,000 so that we have 2 months, at least 2 months of reserves along with the operating budget. So that's the snapshot when you look at it that can give you sort of how we're doing.
Yeah.
Right now we're doing pretty good.
So we have about 2 months and our operating expenses, there's where we're at. You know, I remember the days when, you know, who knows what was going to happen. But, you know, the thing was we stopped worrying about it at a certain time. You know, there were two times when I was writing the resignation letter for this church in the history of this church. Two times, because both those times we needed to get a certain amount that month that was way beyond what we would normally get. Meaning that week offering. And both times, that week offering, that happened. Where multiples of what we were supposed to get that week. And what that convinced me is, the Lord is, as long as the Lord wants us to continue to operate, we will operate.
Amen.
So that's where we're at financially. Where are we trying to go? Next slide. Okay, the goal is a 3-year capital campaign to establish the initial seed money for Redeemer's future home. Our goal is $300,000. Is $300,000 going to buy us a building? No. Is $300,000 going to put us in a place to look at purchasing a building? Yes, it could. You know, we must be honest in terms of our size right now. We're 100 folks. We need to continue to grow to be able to move to that next level. But for a lot of people, you know, buying a building is not necessarily the solution. A long-term rental solution where we're able to take a facility and do what we want with it, that's an option as well, and one we need to consider in this Great Neck area. It's very hard to buy property in this area because of the Navy. I'll take questions at the end. So how does one, you look at $300,000 and you go, whoa, that seems like a very big number. How does that
happen? Well, let's start breaking it down. You know, $100,000 is $25,000 quarterly, $8,000 monthly, $1,900 weekly. Let's keep going. Okay, one way to get there is we could break it down by members and just across the board. 60 members give, it's $32 a week for 3 years. 50 members give, it's $38.30. It's $64 a week. This is the way I more want to look at it. Ultimately, this may sound weird to you, but money is not the issue. Okay, our Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Money, this is more simply a step in the area of faithfulness. It's a very good thing that a church starts out of school. And it's a very good thing that a church starts out having to pull stuff out of that, you know, that shed and take it and put it back. And it's because with each of those steps, it's faithfulness of the congregation that builds and strengthens them. So to me, the $300,000 isn't really the issue at all. Success is faithfulness. And for some people, $32 a week seems like $1,000 a week. For other people, it doesn't mean anything. And so, you know, this, the principles we want to follow are the biblical principles, and we want to follow the principles of the widow's mite. That ultimately, it's our faithfulness to what God is calling us to do that is going to get us there. And so what I did is I created a sheet, a breakdown, that has different levels of participation based on where you're at. And you may not even be in there. So for instance, to get to $300,000, that would entail one giver giving $30,000 over 3 years. That's $10,000 per year. That's $833 a month. That's $192 a week. For many of us, that's utterly impossible. But for someone, it might not be. For some people, $5,000 a year for 10 givers specifically, that's $1,666 a year. That's $83 a month. It's $19 a week for 3 years. Okay, now that's doable. It might be a stretch. It is going to be a stretch for some of us. This is one of those areas. You know, everybody gets a vote in this campaign. We all vote with our feet. We vote with our pocketbook. This is our campaign. It's not the elders' campaign. It's not Bob's Knuth's campaign. It's our campaign. But how are we going to get there? It's each one of us as members saying, we really want this and we believe in this. And so we're going to take that step to move to this next level. And guess what? When we get there, you know, God is going to reveal himself in a new way. Preparation meets opportunity. I'm excited to see what God's going to do in this, but we have to walk in the journey, so to speak. Go back one more. The next for, 20 of us, $1,500 over 3 years. That's $500 a year. That's $42 a month. That's $10 a week. But based on that break, and then there's just other. I just put other for $10,000. But if you look at that breakdown, that gets us to that $300,000 level. Surprising, isn't it? Shows how it's doable. The real question is, what's my role to play? And that's really between you and God. Let's go to the next slide. How can you help? Okay, first, hey, Barry, go ahead and pass those out if you don't mind. This is a one sheet that I want to give to everyone. And I think there are three steps, which I call pray, plan, proceed. Pray, plan, and proceed. Step number one, first, pray. Pray for us as a church. God, if you're in the middle of this, show us, reveal it to us. Pray for our leaders. We're trying to lead this thing. We don't have a clue what we're doing. Pray for our community. This is ultimately, if you think of church, it's like this. It's like a platform in which the gospel can be proclaimed. We believe that the greatest thing we have is our message and our community that's affected by this message. One of the reasons why we brought on Jody's really good at communicating. And so much more than simply helping to keep things organized, how do we get our message out more on social media? Our teaching, our preaching, how do we get it out more? We're looking at our church as a permanent base, as a stronger foundation to speak louder into the community. Pray for our community next, for the Lord to lead and provide for us, for other ways you can help. Okay, the next is to plan, if you look on your one sheet. Go home. You know, if you have a spouse, if you, you know, seek God's will for how he would have you participate in making this goal a reality. What is God calling you to be and do in terms of being a part of this? And we've tried to make it as easy as possible, you know, to see where can I jump in and be a part of this. You know, the great thing about God is he says, you know, but each person should decide what they have decided to give in their own heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. What God does not want is your money. He doesn't need your money. What he wants is your heart. Your money is just a part of that. Proceed. Communicate to the elders or Arise committee how you wish to participate in being a part of the Arise campaign. Here's what I'm thinking. I haven't shared this with the elders. You know, Thanksgiving is coming up. And I think it would be neat, maybe Thanksgiving. You know, this is a confidential thing. Nobody's going to see this graph and where your name is in it. But where is the role and the place I want to be a part of it? And it would be neat if we were able to see. Now, this is all by God's grace. Things change. We understand that. But in terms of helping us to see where we're at with this goal and to, you know, to be able to communicate with you and show you your, where you're at in the goal and to come alongside with you in terms of just from a numbers perspective, wouldn't it be great if we had kind of an in-gathering on November, you know, our November Thanksgiving, where we bring it in confidentially, privately, we put it in, you know, and then it goes and Jody can tabulate and we can see where we're at and God can guide us. So my goal would be pray, plan, and then proceed. Let's bring that all together and then let's see where we're at there and let's walk. And let's walk in obedience, what God is calling you to do. Not what God is calling, not what is God calling you to do? And you being a part of that picture, and then we'll put it all together and we'll see where we go from there, and then we proceed. So I think that's the plan. Next slide. Let's finish with questions. FAQs. Do I have to write a separate check to contribute? You know, you don't have to pay monthly for this. You don't have to. You can do it. You can do whatever you want. Really, it would be you would start writing checks, Arise campaign, on the memo line, so we would know that check is going toward that.
Or you can split that, just put a memo for Debbie on your checks that, you know, you want 50% to Arise or 10% to Arise, something like that. And she said that she can take it from them.
We can set up EFT, I believe, or whatever. Ken's got to sell his condo in the Caymans. That's going to take a while, but we'll make that happen. Okay, can contributions be made online? Preferably not. PayPal takes their chunk. If it's more convenient for you, we can do that. But I think we can set up EFT, which does not have any fees pulled for the EFT, I think.
I think it's like 25.
Electronic funds transfer, meaning it pulls from your check.
You have a choice of either doing a check or doing a credit card. But if you do a check, then the church pays 25 cents. If you do a credit card, we pay 3%.
Yeah. So it can be, look, I'm setting my account on cruise control. I'm going to do this. I'm going to set it up. We'll make that happen. Next slide. Is my absolutely. Keep going. Gift contributions be made in honor of or in remembrance of a loved one? Absolutely. Absolutely. And maybe there we'll find a way to, you know, honor them in terms of down the road, you know, Ebenezer Stones of Remembrance. I don't know. Will the contributions to Arise be designated for the capital campaign only? Yes. Yeah, this is for building. It'll be a separate account. It's not being pulled from for operational expenses. It's for this specific account. Anything else? What happens after the 3 years? We don't know. We don't know. And in fact, it doesn't necessarily have to take 3 years. We don't know if we have 3 years. That's the beauty of it. We don't need to know. All we need to know is what is God calling us to today.
They're talking.
We'll trust God. I like that. I like that. There you go. Does the congregation get to vote on whether we go forward with the cap? Absolutely. You vote with your funds. You always get a vote, you know. But in terms of as leadership and based on the data of surveying you ourselves, we have determined this is the direction we need to go in. And, you know, leaders lead.
So in terms of, do you want to be a part of it or not? That's really up to you in terms of whether you want to contribute to it or not. That's at your discretion. But we feel like this is the direction we need to go, and so we're going to go in. Yes?
I probably got to explain this next one. Part of moving forward, I asked for permission from Ken, Gary, and Carlos that, again, you know, and I didn't want it to be me, I wanted it to be us, that we put a committee together. And I reached out to John and Julie, Paul and Jenny, and the Boomers, you know, Debbie being a bookkeeper, logical choice there. But sort of how I went about it in discussion with Barry, Ken, and Carlos was that we wanted different demographics being represented in this, because as we move forward, there's going to be different needs and different thoughts of what that church home will need. And also, you know, look at it from the standpoint of ideas for fundraising. George, they sort of represent the senior committee.
Seasoned.
Renee and I are, you know, the 50-somethings, empty nesters, just sort of, you know, dealing sort of with that. John and Julie have young kids that are, you know, we're blessed. We've got a lot of them, you know, and it's phenomenal. And then Paul and Jenny sort of have the younger group, you know, pre-kid kind of thing. And the thought there is to get a really good representation. I made promises and commitments that, including myself, I'm not going to strong arm anyone for a contribution or ask anyone for money. Neither will they. If you have an idea of how you want to help, whether it's fundraising or, you know, I know this person with the foundation might be interested in giving. It gives multiple touch points within our church community in order to do that. There's a few other people that I intend to reach out to. I've already talked to Eric. As we move forward, his expertise in doing business plans and things, we're going to need help. You know, that $300,000 as a seedling could be a down payment for a place where we're going to talk to banks and things like that. So sort of getting that business aspect of it together to go to present to folks is going to be critical. So if anyone else here, you know, Mike, I happen to, you know, be sitting up here thinking, you know, it's going to take all of us. You know, it's our community, and it's going to take all of us. And any ideas that you have, email me, call me, talk to anyone in the group. We're open to everything at this point.
That's right. Let's close up right here. There, I think, three more comments, and then we'll close in prayer. Church fundraisers, we'll talk about that later. It's not relevant at this point. What happens if an individual or family decides they do not... that's absolutely fine. Let God lead you. And do you anticipate an overlap between current contributions and anticipate a decrease in the implementation of the new capital campaign? This is important, meaning this is a new fund for a new initiative. Our budget is set in order to meet our current needs. Let me give you an example of a current need. We're working right now to double the size of our nursery. Okay, I don't know if you've noticed it, but there are a lot of little ones going on, you know, around. Okay, so we've got a real issue. You know, not only do we have to overcome the obstacle of it's a room all the way up there, okay, but we want it to be a place where parents want to drop off their kids. So we're going to knock out a in-between the discipleship cove room and the nursery to double the size of the nursery. So, but this is an older building, and so we're going to do things exactly the way they're supposed to be done from an inspection perspective, from everything. These are our kids. Well, it costs money. It takes time. We have some in the expansion fund. It's not going to be too expensive, but we're going to do it right. And the budget we have has been set for the initiatives. That budget goes toward youth ministry. It goes to other stuff. So this is on over and above what we're doing there. Any questions, comments, or character assassinations from the group? Yes?
Yeah, as the amount of money we have in your RISE fund is going to be shown on the bulletins or real life.
Yes. Yes, it is. Every week. Yes, it is.
Somebody's got to give first before
Starting with George Boomer. Any other questions?
Hey, I do have a quick question.
Yes.
Great job, guys. Thanks so much for all the information and all the work and prayer. You alluded earlier, there are some constraints to planning down permanently in this northeast area of Virginia Beach.
Yes.
You know, zoning and
yes.
crash zones, things like that.
Yeah.
Just trying to get an idea of some hopes, visions.
Yeah. There's two. One, the exorbitant price of real estate. Whatever God wants to do, God will do. But in terms of the Navy, if you're familiar with AQ's crash zones, okay, there's certain crash zones. And according to the zone, depends on what the Navy will allow you to zone. So if it's already zoned church, that piece of property that comes available for sale, there's nothing the Navy can do about it. But the Navy does not want more churches being built in what they consider crash zones. And so if you are trying to get a piece of property rezoned in a particular area that the Navy does not want you to do it, you are not going to get it done. I mean, I was with my last church that had Congressman Scott Ridgel on it and chairman of the CEO of Amerigroup, and we still couldn't get it done in terms of the Navy, what the Navy says goes. And so there are challenges. There is, like we say, though, there is property out there that is zoned church, and there are opportunities. So God will provide at the right time. Final questions? You guys have been great. I want to be available to you. All the others are available to you. We've gone long, but this was worthy, I think, and hope. Let me close this with prayer. You'll be getting more information in the mail, so just look for that, but we will keep communicating about this. God, we thank you. You have brought us this far as a church, Lord, and we don't want to go one step further than where you would have us go, Lord, for it is your church and your kingdom. And so guide us and show us how we would get behind your mission for your church to expand and grow, Lord. We love you. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, if I could get some manly help with Kathy, we're going to go out the back door.
Fantastic.
We just had ramps.
We need some permanent ramps here. Oh. Just strap them to the top of your car, of that Mercedes.
Sweet. Yeah.
I need to hear how everything went.
He didn't want me to ask a little bit, man. I had to turn those slides at 3 or 4.
I was too far.
Absolutely. I'd rather have someone who's it's like, nah, the house is too small. No, it's not right.
Yeah. Oh, trust me.
Good. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for keeping us. Yeah.
Check to see
it.
Because
when you see that,
Okay.
So thank you for that attachment. He was like freaking out. Where is that? Carlos saved the day.
That's how Satan works. I'm so used to things not going right.
That it's, try to come as prepared as you can.
Well, and you just, it's part of the way he works. He wants to rattle you. He wants to throw you. Shake it up. It's going to work out. But that happens to me all the time.
Yeah. I'm thinking, well, at the end of the year, I want to contribute something, and I want to do it with my mom. But I would like to talk to you at some point, just trying to think of a good... I think I just talked to her, because I think she'd make a pretty substantial donation.
Yeah.
So I just wish she could have been here. She's not feeling well.
Yeah. I would... Maybe. Let's see if I finished...
Do you have those? Bob's got those things that we can send to her, right?
I'm wondering if I was recording the audio of it. I wonder if it came through.